There's only one nation, Raider Nation. You're listening to Silver and Black tonight on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back. It is Friday night. That means it's time for Silver and Black tonight here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Raider Nation, did you have a good week? Did you get your fix of football? Some Raider news we got to talk about, of course. And then, again, Mo Moten on vacation. He actually wrote a piece saying that he thinks Justin Herbert from the Chargers might be the MVP. So he is now in hiding. No, I kid. My friend Mo's on vacation in an undisclosed location because he needs some time off. He'll be back very, very soon. But we'll talk about that later. And the Justin Herbert, because everyone who listens to this show knows I grew up in San Diego, knows I grew up a Charger fan. That ended in 2015. But nonetheless, people always give me trash over growing up a Charger fan because I cover the Raiders. But now Mo writes this piece and there are people wanting to disown him, but Mo's too nice of a guy, so you can't do it. I'm not going to let you do it. But anyway, we're here to talk about Raiders football and we're going to get to all of that. Make sure you check out our website, silverandblacktonight.com or silverandblacktoday.com, whichever you go. That's where you'll find the archives to this show. You also find more links to my work up on sportsnot.com as well as Mo, who you can find at Bleacher Report and Sportsnot as well. But nonetheless, we're going to do that. But tonight, joining me here on the show is our good friend, and that is Mario Tovar from the Raider Ramble. If you haven't been to RaiderRamble.com, you're missing out. A great website if you're a fan of the Raiders, if you are a card-carrying member of Raider Nation, and you have not been to Raider Ramble, what the hell is wrong with you? Go there, check it out. Some great content, great writers over there. And Mario, the man who started it all, one of the hardest working men you will ever find in the business, joins me now. Mario, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, Scott. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Listen, let's jump in. Well, first of all, Mario, you not only do Raider Ramble, you're also a colleague now of ours at Sportsnot, where you're writing about football. Tell everybody a little bit about your background. I know I've had you on the show before, but you know we keep getting new listeners as the numbers grow each and every week and each and every month. Tell everybody a little bit about your background. How did you start Raider Ramble, and what was it about the Raiders and covering them that motivated you to start the business?
Well, Scott, I just basically started when I was with USA Today, Raiders Wire, when it was a brand new website, not the Raiders Wire we know today, but the original one. And then you had other sites like Just Squawk Baby, Last Word on Sports. And then one day I just decided, you know what, let me do my own thing. Let me start my own website. I reached out to a few fellow up-and-coming writers, and we basically just started the Raider Ramble, you know, and it's exploded in the last few years. We've been, you know, several aggregators like Bleacher Report, stuff like that. But other than Raider Ramble, I also help out Just Blog Baby, which is part of the Fansided Network. That's a great source right there for Raiders content too. And I help out other platforms too, Black and Teal, which is also part of Fansided. They are devoted to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And as you mentioned, Sportsnot, which I help with a few different teams. I know Raider fans aren't going to like this, but in particular, the Dallas Cowboys.
But, hey, man, a guy's got to eat.
It's a great platform, man, but it's a great platform.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And clearly, you and I, you know, hooked up early on because we were in the same boat, right? We both started these websites, and we knew that there's room for everybody, and so we kind of just, you know, had sparked up a friendship and a conversation, and that's how it should be. You know, I mean, I think that there are the big corporate sites, and there's nothing wrong with them, and you write for some of them, as do I now with Sportsnot, with Silver and Black Today becoming Vegas Sports Today, becoming part of Sportsnot. I no longer am in the web publishing business on my own, but the independents, there's a need for those. And I think that while I love the Just Blog Babies of the world and the Fansided, because they do have amazing content and an amazing platform, the independent sites are important, because I think we and you now bring voices to the table that might not get the opportunity to do it at some of those sites. And it really gives, I think, Raider Nation the opportunity to hear different perspectives from different places.
Oh, for sure. And it was actually your partner, Mo Moden, who told me recently, and it meant a lot coming from him, when he told me that the Raider Ramble is much more than just a writing website. It's more of a platform that's allowed a lot of young and up-and-coming writers a voice. You know, a lot of them have gone on to other websites, which I'm more than happy for them. And some of them are actually have a bunch of new people getting their feet wet, and I'm more than happy to help them in any way they can. You know, I once had the doors opened up for me, you know. And then to your point about independent sites, that's very important when it comes to, I think, any sports team. You know, there's nothing wrong with the major established outlets, but it's always nice to have these independent ones that don't have any sort of agenda or anything. And for example, this year I was really honored to be accepted into the Pro Football Writers of America, you know, which helps.
Yes.
I guess you could say it justifies our, what we're doing, you know, that we're finally starting to get some sort of recognition, you know, as an independent website. You know, I covered several events, including the Combine and the Pro Bowl, you know, which I know everybody hates the Pro Bowl, but you know, it's a big thing for an independent site that maybe four or 5 years ago was just a free blog, you know?
Yeah. And the NFL obviously has adopted media, especially. It's hard too, because you consider the NFL has, I mean, the team's websites now are the biggest websites that cover the team. And so in many ways, the relationship between the NFL teams and news agencies, news sites, no matter what their size, has changed, because in some ways they don't really need us. The fans need us, but the teams don't need us like they used to. But the NFL has done a great job of, I think, making sure that there's seats at the table. Like you said, you were credentialed for Press Row at the Pro Bowl and all that stuff, which is an amazing accomplishment. And obviously being a fellow member of the PFWA now is a big deal, because you have to be doing the job. It's not like you can just fake your way into that. So that says a lot, but congratulations on that, man. And it makes me proud. I will always obviously be a fan of those independent sites, having gone through that journey myself. Now, I want to talk about, we're going to talk a couple of subjects here with the time we have left, but I want to start off with one of the stories. Well, first of all, let's start with the Raiders. So there's this sense, I've been seeing some of the reporters out there and other folks in Raider Nation talking about, well, the Raiders might be done now with the roster changes and might be ready to roll, as our good friend Vinny Bonsignor at the RJ said today, might be ready to roll with what they have. I'm concerned with that, Mario, because as well as they've done, and I've been a big fan, and you and I are very both objective, you know, that's the great thing about being independent, is we don't work for a big newspaper or a big four-letter network where we can't say what we want to say. But nonetheless, you know, I'm concerned, because I think the right side of the offensive line still needs a lot of work. I don't know what they're going to do it, but I've been praising the Raiders and praising Ziegler and praising McDaniels for what they've done so far, including the Carr extension. But do you have concerns if this team goes in with exactly what they have now?
I think the two biggest positions is definitely right tackle. Mm-hmm. I'm sure fans would have loved if they would have made a move there. I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ziegler made a point earlier in the offseason that they had something in place for a right tackle, but you know, things fell apart, so they moved on to their next move, which was Chandler Jones. But as it stands, I mean, you're counting on Brandon Parker and Jermaine Elamore to hold down that position this year. It's shaky at best. I'm sure fans are hoping that they go after somebody like Darrell Williams, who's still out there. Mm-hmm. The other position is definitely cornerback. I know, I mean, you have to go onto Twitter for a couple minutes to see their reactions to James Bradbury going to the Eagles, right?
Oh, yes.
That was one that, I personally speaking, I know a lot of my guys were hoping for the Bradbury signing. But
yeah,
cornerback is another position too, man. I mean, the Raiders are basically hoping that Trayvon Mullen regains the shape of 2 years ago. Basically.
Right.
So they're, I mean, I know he had offseason surgery. It looks like he's fine from whatever thing that Vic Tafer has reported. I believe he's fine. He'll be fine, but they're basically banking on him regaining that form. So cornerback is definitely still a concern. Those two positions, I think, by far.
Yeah.
There's still definitely some free agent options out there that they can go after, especially after June 2nd, when the money starts to, you know, flow back in. But definitely those two positions by far, man, cornerback and right tackle are still a concern.
Yeah, they are, especially, you know, I mean, you just invested the money in Carr, right? You've upgraded, obviously, at wide receiver with Davante Adams. You have what I think can be just a stellar, amazing offense with all the pieces that you have there. But you got to protect that quarterback, right? And to me, that's the big question mark. So I don't know if they're done. I don't know what else can be done. And no team, very rarely does a team go into a season where they've addressed every single need without question, right? The Raiders have done so much this year, and they should be credited for that. But it's going to be hard, I think, on that one. But certainly one of the big question marks. We'll have to see what happens. And you never know who gets freed up, too. You know, things happen and opportunities arise. They might have an opportunity to go grab somebody as well in some sort of deal after the beginning of June. So Mario, that said, there are players on the Raiders, guys coming back from last year, that really are in some make or break years. We've talked about Josh Jacobs. They didn't pick up the option. We talked about Jonathan Abram. Didn't pick up the option. Those are two of the guys. Another guy is Cleveland Farrell. And on your site, on Raider Ramble, I invite everybody to go up, and I'm showing it on the screen here, is a story by Jason Willis on your staff at Raider Ramble talking about the fact that Cleveland Farrell, in an interview, said that he might be moving outside the linebacker. What do you think about this? Is that maybe an opportunity for him to do something that he hasn't been able to do, which is play consistently well enough to get snaps?
Oh, for sure. And I think the biggest thing with Farrell, if you look at it historically since he's been drafted, it just seems like he's never really found his niche. You know, every season he's had a different defensive coordinator. Once again, this year is the same thing. I think he would, as you mentioned in the piece that we ran today, he was originally drafted on the guise that he would be a pass rusher. Instead, he's never really, you know, produced at that level. I mean, and certainly not as the fourth overall pick, and much less as Khalil Mack's supposed replacement. You know, let's get that out of the way. He hasn't lived up to that. This is definitely a maker year, you know, make it or break it year for him. The switch, I think, if this is legit and he really is moving to outside linebacker, I think this could be the year where he finally turns around. I'm not going to say he's going to get double digit sacks or anything, you know, astronomical like that, but he can definitely, you know, elevate his production as an outside linebacker. He's got Max Crosby and Chandler Jones on the edges. If he is indeed moved, his speed, his movement, all that stuff that he was originally drafted for, the Raiders could finally see some return on that investment. You know, maybe this scheme change from thanks to Patrick Graham is probably going to save his career, if indeed this is true, that he is going to go move to the outside as a linebacker.
Yeah, and to me, it's also, you know, not a lot of fans talk about the fact that Mo and I on the show a lot over the last 2 years have talked a lot about the Raiders at linebacker and the fact that they just haven't. I mean, Corey Littleton, obviously, we know what happened there. Nick Kwiatkowski, who they talked to again this year, maybe thinking about bringing him back. But the Raiders, and I know the game has changed, the Raiders have not had strong linebacking play. Yeah, Nick Morrow has made nice progress and all that, but they've not had that consistent linebacker play. But now with the scheme change, you know, you're starting to look at the fact that you need some answers there, depending on down and where they're at. So the fact, if you can get Farrell to become that linebacker and be pretty good at it, which, you know, look, no one's ever doubted that the kid's a good athlete. It's just he's never lived up to the number four pick, okay, which is not all his fault. He shouldn't have been picked there in the first place, in my view.
Shouldn't have been picked there.
Right. So to me, that is really interesting. And I think Mario, don't you believe, I mean, you look at Ziegler, you look at McDaniels, and one of the things that they said, even talking about Alex Leatherwood, which was early on in those press conferences when they first took over, I got the sense that they believe that those guys might have the skills to get where they need them to, but they just hadn't been coached well enough. I mean, they don't want to throw dispersions on the old staff. I get that. That's not what you do in the business because it's so incestuous and small. But do you get that sense that maybe this staff at least thinks that, hey, we got to give it a shot. Maybe we can probably get more out of them.
Oh, for sure. And I think right from the get-go, both of the duo, as I like to call them, made it clear that this was going to be fueled by competition. Obviously, the coaching change is one aspect of it. The other aspect is the competition. These guys that didn't get picked up for their fifth-year options, they are going to be in competition for playing time. Jacobs, Farrell, all of them, Abram. And their hope is probably, hey, the combination of the correct scheme change with competition will make, you know, get the most out of them. And in that sense, the Raiders are going to be the ones that reap the benefits, especially, like, for example, when you look at Ferrell. If you go back and look at Ferrell's tape from Clemson, he was explosive. He was an excellent pass rusher. Yes, he was not worthy of the fourth overall pick. He was certainly overdrafted. But that's not to say the kid wasn't talented, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, the point that I was originally trying to make is that if you really think about it, since being drafted by the Raiders, he hasn't really been put in the right position. You know, it's almost like the previous coaching staff simply just didn't know how to utilize his talents. You know, if he is indeed going to be moved to outside linebacker by Patrick Graham, then make the most of it and just have him rush the passer on the outside. And that's it. You know, sometimes you just have to dumb down the game and just, you know, push a player's strength, in my opinion. You know,
yeah.
I think maybe they were just trying to overcoach him, turn him into something that he wasn't, you know, trying to justify the fact that he was the fourth overall pick. That's a lot of pressure, man. You know, I don't think we'd be having the same conversations the last few years if he would have gone in Abram's place later down in the first round. Certainly, you know, coming with that expectation that he was going to replace Mac, it was just, you know, unrealistic, really, if you look back. But it's there. He has the athletic ability. He's a talented player, but his strengths just haven't been utilized. And I do think that with Graham in charge, and again, with the competition aspect of it, I think we could definitely see Ferrell turn it around. Is he going to be an all-pro? Unlikely.
Right.
But he could definitely be productive. You know, at this point, that's all you really want from the kid, to be productive, really.
Right. And what's incredible, though, Mario, is you have seen cases of guys drafted at one position, don't do well, they get moved, and then they do. I mean, maybe they're not all pro, some of them end up even being pro bowlers, or they become a very solid, above average to very good player at that position. And I think that's where the coaching, and again, it's easy for us to dump on the Gruden staff and on Mayock and those guys because they did have a lot of failures, especially in the draft. I mean, you know, you go back to the one draft, nobody's left. But at the same time, especially third rounders, but you look at that and you say, okay, well, they might have recognized the talent and drafted the talent, but they couldn't get the most out of it. I wonder too, is there other spots in your view, is there other spots and other players? I mean, the Jonathan Abram question, the Josh Jacobs question, which Josh Jacobs, I don't think there's any question about the talent that he is a starting running back talent in the NFL. For him, it's been the health issue. But is there anybody else on the Raiders you think this staff might be able to? You mentioned Trayvon Mullen earlier. Is there someone on there that you think is a good candidate for somebody who might actually finally live up to the potential that former staff saw?
I think, well, as far as Jacobs, I think unfortunately for him, he has definitely proven his worth. I mean, he basically carried the team into the playoffs. I mean, obviously that's debatable, but he definitely had a large part in that. But I think he could be a victim of the system that McDaniels brings from New England, which is, as we've all seen the last few years, running back by committee. You know, that's not to say he won't be successful under McDaniels. No, far from it. But there's a reason why he wasn't extended, you know, given that fifth year. Running back is definitely a expandable position in the Patriots offense. I think we can all agree on that, you know. So, unfortunately, it's too soon. We don't know what they're going to do. But Jacobs is definitely in a difficult position, as is Kenyon Drake, too, you know, just because of the system. As far as somebody that they can help to live up to the expectations, I'm thinking Leatherwood, and it's going to depend on where they use him. I have a couple of my colleagues at the Ramble that swear that Leatherwood can turn into a Pro Bowl right guard if they make him the right guard, you know. So it's going to be just a matter of where does McDaniel see the right fit, you know. Does he still believe that he can be an NFL right tackle? Or there's nothing wrong with, I mean, obviously he was a first round pick, so maybe the backlash of picking a right guard in the first round, but it's not about that. It's about improving the offensive line. At the end of the day, if the O-line is keeping car upright. Who really cares?
Correct. You know, and as you know, you have to win in the trenches on offense and defense. Mario, hold on for a minute. We're going to take our first break and we'll come back. We'll pick up that conversation. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the AFC West and talk about the bomb that Mo dropped in social media and on SportsNot or Bleacher Report. I forget which one it was. I think it was SportsNot. About who he thinks might be the NFL MVP next year. So sit tight, Mario. We'll be right back with you. And all of you in Raider Nation, don't go anywhere. You're listening to Silver and Black tonight, only on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. We'll be back right after this message.
We will be right back with Silver and Black tonight on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Scott and Mo on Silver and Black tonight on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back. Silver and Black tonight here on, guess what, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. We are Southern California's only all-Raider talk show. And you're saying to yourself, yeah, the Raiders don't play in Southern California. Well, they have their second home. Their vacation home is at SoFi when they play the Chargers, as Raider fans will tell you, and as 70% of the crowd in Silver and Black will tell you. And there are Raider fans from the Los Angeles days. It's still a Raider town. Yes, the Rams won the Super Bowl, but that's why we're on the air, because you're all out there and you need to hear about your team. So welcome back. I'm Scott Gilbranson, your host. I'm joined tonight by my good friend Mario Tovar from the Raider Ramble. If you haven't visited RaiderRamble.com, make sure you do that. And also you can follow Mario on Twitter, which I suggest. It's at underscore Mario Tovar, T-O-V-A-R. So make sure you do that. He's a great follow. He's also someone that's awesome to interact with. If you bring crap towards him and you're full of it, he will call you on it. Right, Mario?
Of course, man. You have to. I know you're a big proponent of the muting and the blocking, which I do as well. But sometimes you got to have fun with Twitter, man. I know Mo,
oh, yes,
your partner, is very, he takes it very serious. You know, I've seen his tweets about how conducting yourself a certain way on Twitter.
Sure.
I do agree to a point, but sometimes, man, people just, they come at you with disrespect, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to take that. I'm just a proponent of that. That's all it is.
And you know what, too, Mario? Here's the thing. And this is not meant to sound egotistical, because you and I are very down-earth people. We're not some big celebrity or anything like that. Not even close, right? But no. I will tell you, being a content creator, there are times when people come at you, to your point about disrespect, they talk about your work. I don't care. You know, there's lots of people who don't like me and who can't forget that I rooted for the Chargers. And that's fine. Like, they can go get their stuff other places. I'm totally fine with that. There are so many great spots. If you want someone who's going to tell you all the good rose-colored glasses stuff and talk about the Raiders as we and us, and all, which there's nothing wrong with. That's a different type of content. I'm cool with that. But every once in a while, to your point, you have people who come at you disrespectfully. They cross a line. And so sometimes you got to just slap them across the face with most likely logic, because you know what? You create content. Most of these people have not created anything except maybe what they leave in the toilet at the end of the day. And so to me, you know, if you want to come at me, show me what you've done. I'm more than happy.
Well,
if you make
to be fair, Scott,
yeah.
To be fair, though, I've always, as far as with the Raider Ramble, because that's my platform, I can't speak for other ones.
Yeah.
But with something that we've always done is, when people are disrespectful or do speak to you a certain way, it's like, hey, I've always put it out there. If you can come up with something better, by all means, send it over to me.
Yeah.
I'll publish it. Heck, I'll even pay you. but it just, but don't, come on, you know, I'm a big proponent of that, you know, and I think Benjamin Albright, the Broncos insider, says it best in his tweet when he says, Twitter's for jokes, don't take that stuff super serious, you know, it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, we're all human, but, you know, but hey, the people that are respectful and enjoy the content and can have a civilized conversation. Those are that's the ones you do it for, you know?
Yeah.
At least on Twitter, you know?
It is. And, you know, the other thing to remember too, I think for people, especially fans, because every once in a while I'll have somebody come at me with something and I bite back at them and I realize, you know what? They weren't really trying to cross the line or whatever. I think people, and I've done it, right? Where you spout off something on Twitter and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. It didn't really come out how I wanted it to. And so I get that piece of it. But the good news is for the most part, I mean, 90% of my interactions with Raider Nation are phenomenal. I even people who disagree with me on certain things when we talk Raider football, I don't mind that. Like, I'm totally fine because I'm wrong. My wife tells me all the time I'm wrong. So, you know, I don't mind when people out there tell me. But let's get back to the football, Mario. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the fact that, you know, the Raiders have some players who are in kind of make or break years. And you mentioned a couple of them, including Alex Leatherwood, which I agree with you. I mean, they need him to be the guy. Even 80% of what they thought he could be would be phenomenal, whether it's at guard or tackle. But you look at some of the other guys like Jonathan Abrams. Who else on this team do you think maybe might benefit the most from that new regime, from that new coaching staff, from Patrick Graham, for example, on defense?
I definitely think Jonathan Abram. He is the strong safety for the Raiders by all accounts. You know, he's improved in certain areas each year. He's definitely progressed, but you know, the idea has been thrown around, is he in trouble, you know, at least as far as losing that starting gig. They did acquire Daron Harmon in the offseason, so you know, I was reading an article earlier from my colleagues at Just Blog Baby that he does have a legitimate shot at competing. And again, this is what I said earlier, this new regime is going to thrive on competition. You know, there shouldn't be too many positions set in stone other than the most obvious ones, you know, Crosby, Renfro, Adams, Carr, those, you know, those guys. But the rest of the team really should just be up for grabs as far as who's going to play, you know, the best. I think the biggest issue with Abrams still continues to be the coverage aspect of his game. You know, he is definitely a hard hitter. He's definitely somebody out there that, you know, can make a play, but the coverage, you know, in Patrick Graham's system that he's bringing in, coverage abilities are probably the biggest thing he's looking for, you know, at the second level and the third level. So unfortunately, yeah, he could be in trouble, you know, but again, we still have to see training camp. You know, he's definitely one player to keep an eye on as far as, you know, who might be on the bubble, who might be in trouble. Definitely Abram is one.
Yeah. And so Mario, let's jump into some of the AFC West stuff. So of course we were joking about Mo's piece on Bleacher Report. It was on Bleacher Report, by the way. I couldn't remember. It's been that kind of week. on Wednesday he published it, talking about why he felt that Justin Herbert of the Chargers was set up for perhaps being the NFL MVP. So that's kind of Mo's early take, because what the Chargers have done to support him with high-end playmakers on defense, on offense, that offensive line continues to improve. When you look at that and Mo's point of view on that, look, we've talked about it for the last several weeks on this show, which is the AFC West all over got better, except for the Chiefs, right? Which is, the Chiefs have been kind of ruling the roost for a while now. They lose Tyreek Hill. They got some other pieces, but it's kind of a big unknown. But you look at what the Broncos did. You look at what the Chargers have done and what the Raiders have done. This is going to be a really competitive division. But when you look at the Chargers and you look at Justin Herbert, you look at Mo's piece, is this another typical Charger hype machine that we see? Or do you think that Mo's got a good point here and that this team might be better with a coach that made bad decisions last year but may have learned from those?
Well, first of all, it's funny you brought up the Chiefs, because a half hour ago, I got buried on Twitter for just mentioning the fact that the Chiefs are going to, everybody's saying, yelling at me that the Chiefs are going to be just fine with a Tyreek Hill. And I was making the point that well, Hill wasn't the entire offense. You can't tell me you move on from a player like that and you're not going to feel it.
Right.
You know, Kelce is definitely last year showed his age. He's starting to show he's human. You know, not trying to hear to insinuate that Darren Waller has overtaken him. That's still up for debate. But to simply assume that the Chiefs are just going to keep rolling along, you know, with business as usual, I think is a little bit far-fetched, just my opinion. You know, as far as most point, it's a very valid point. I don't think it's more Chargers hype machine. He definitely is going to flourish under the set being in back-to-back seasons under the same offensive scheme. Mo actually made the great point that in college, the same thing happened when he was playing college ball. When he had back-to-back schemes that were the same, he actually improved dramatically, you know, each year.
Yep.
The Chargers did a great job. They kept all his weapons. The offensive line is getting better. You know, Rashawn Slater is emerging really as one of the best tackles really in the entire league. So I don't think actually it's hype machine. I think that he does have Herbert, I'm talking about, does have a legitimate shot at being MVP. You know, is it a bit early to crown him? Probably, you know, but the foundation is there, you know, and I get it. I know Raider fans hate the annual hype machine surrounding the Chargers.
Sure, sure.
That's understandable. But they have to understand when you look at it from the grand scheme of things, the offensive line, the weapons, the continuity now with Brandon Staley, it's there. You know, it's not that far-fetched to say that he's going to be a legitimate MVP candidate, you know.
Right, and I know a lot of Raider fans, and I agree with them on this point, which is, okay, so Justin Herbert's supposed to be so good, but they haven't won anything. But at the same time, we always talk about Derek Carr being so good, but he hasn't won anything either. So I don't think that's a fair just like it isn't with Carr, I don't think it's a fair judgment. I think he's a younger player too, by the way, and he's got a different skill set in many ways than Carr does. So yeah, it'll be interesting, but clearly Mo had the crowd fired up, which was always fun. But Mario, you look at the rest of that AFC West, since this is the first time we talked to you since all these moves have happened, what team do you think outside of the Chargers, you look at the Broncos, and again, you talked about the Chiefs, that Bronco team, I think people are underselling what Russell Wilson brings to that team, because they talk about Russell Wilson and his age and the injury and all that kind of stuff, but he's still Russell Wilson. He's still got a lot of talent. The guy's won a Super Bowl, and I don't think Denver's had so much trouble at the position, and it is the position that drives success in the NFL.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but is he really though? Because I think a lot of it was from Raider fans being, what's the word, salty about Wilson going to the Broncos and throwing shade on his injuries and stuff. But it's true though; he's still Russell Wilson, right. You know. And obviously, the weapons that he's gonna have and with the Broncos, Jerry Jeudy, you know, if he ever gets out of prison, you know, all those guys that he has, they're still good. I mean, are they better than what he had in Seattle? It's too soon to tell, you know, DK Metcalf and all of that whole core that he had over there. But the Broncos for the last few years have had one of the top defenses in the NFL. What they were missing was quarterback play, you know, whether it was Teddy Bridgewater, all these Drew Locke, you know, there's just a long list of guys that just couldn't hack it. But they finally have the quarterback position solved with Wilson. Feasibly for what, maybe 2-3, maybe 4 years, you know, so their window is now to compete. Can they overtake the Raiders? Can they take the Chargers? That's a whole nother question. You know, they definitely are trending in the right direction. That's the thing too with this division, man. It really is just a murderer's row as far as each team. You know, it's any of these four teams realistically has a shot to win the division. You know,
yeah.
So I know Raider fans don't want to hear that, but objectively, all four, you know, teams have a legitimate shot at winning this thing. And a lot of it too is their improvements combined with the Chiefs' decline at certain positions.
Correct.
So it's more so about the other three teams catching up to the Chiefs more than anything.
Yeah, so, and you know what, Mario, too, it's what I've said, and I want to see if you agree with this statement. I think, and this is where I think Raider fans who, again, I don't just pander, I'm not just saying it, but I do believe are the best fans there are in sports, but Raider fans tend to live or die week by week, right, by their team, and I get it because the loyalty is so deep. But at the same time, I think this season, to your point about Murderer's Row, about this division being so difficult, is you could go a two-week stretch where the Raiders don't look good and you're like, holy crap, they're out of this. There's no way they're going to win division. And the Chiefs are playing really well. And then the next 2 weeks, it could be the Broncos that are on fire. And then it could be the Raiders on fire. And it's going to be a little bit of a balancing act, I think, between timing. You know, are you peaking at the right time? Of course, you can't lose too many division games or conference games for playoff seeding, right? But I think it's going to be a week-by-week division, and we're just not going to know who's a clear-cut leader unless, you know, unfortunately, injuries happen to a team or something dramatic happens, and that changes the scope of what it is. But I really think it's just going to be a very, very week-by-week season in the division. Now, do I think the Raiders are going to have an up-and-down season? No, I think they're actually, again, and I don't get into the game predictions anymore, but, you know, 11 games, yeah, that's perfectly, to me, within reason and could be an expectation. So I don't think the Raiders will struggle so much, but I do think in that division, it's just going to be bloody.
Oh, for sure. And if you think about it, last season, you know, on the Raiders were pretty much dead in the water in December last year. You know, they got that final stretch at the end and they clinched the playoff berth. So really, it might come down to who has that final run at the end. I know the Raiders have the week six bye, which is come back to haunt them too. Actually, down the stretch, when you look at that brutal stretch at the end, actually for the Raiders, but it could feasibly come down to who wins at the end. You know, who has that final run in the last few weeks of the regular season. Again, you just have to look at the Raiders last year. That's exactly what happened. You know, after the whole turmoil, what happened with Gruden and Ruggs. By early December, I mean, all the experts had the Raiders, you know, dead in the water, and look what happened. You know, so all it takes is one run of a few games at the end, and that's probably who's going to win it. It is going to be definitely a neck-and-neck situation. Obviously, each AFC West matchup is going to be must-see football. So that's, you know, it's going to be one of those years, man.
it is. And you know what, too, Mario, you talked about the schedule, which we talked about on the show last week, but I've taken the opposite. A lot of people are saying, man, those last six games, they're brutal. It's a brutal schedule. There's no question. But I think the Raiders have to win the season and set themselves up for the playoffs in the first six games. Because to me, you have not only those final six, but if you look at the six games before that, they play four of the six on the road. So you have four of the six on the road and two on the East Coast, and then you have that six game stretch at the end. So to me, and I know it's been difficult for Raider fans because the Raiders have started so well the last three seasons and then crapped the bed, but I really think they have to have a really solid going into that bye week. They got to be on really good footing.
Oh, for sure. And I think, to your point, I think it's another way to you know, make the point would be they need to set the tone from the outset. You know, all eyes are going to be on the Raiders with the new coaching staff. So basically what's going to end up happening is if this team doesn't get off to a good start, you're going to start seeing fans' reactions to that. You know, social media, you're definitely going to see, you're going to start seeing, oh, Carr isn't it. Davante Adams, he's too old. You know, this fan base, like you said, it's just so passionate. But you're definitely going to see a lot of that. And you're absolutely right. The first six games, it is going to be crucial to get off to a great start. You know, if not, you know, that's when doubts start to set in. You know, is McDaniels the right guy? And you said it yourself, it's a week-to-week business, you know, in football. And we saw that last year too, man. In the first few games, people had turned on Carr by all means, you know, what happened. They still made the playoffs. So it's definitely going to be the same thing again this year. So buckle up.
Oh yes. Buckle up. Absolutely. You're going to have an airbag ready, even in front of your TV. Mario, as we get set to close out the show here too, one last question I had for you, and I think it's the one shoe that people have been waiting for to drop. And I want to get your take on if you think it's going to happen, which is, are they going to give Renfro an extension here before we hit training camp?
If I had to guess, obviously no insider, nothing like that. I would say no. I think they would hold off. I think right now they would be in better position to address some of those other weaknesses, you know, devoting some of the money to that, you know, sort of a, how would you say, like a short-term fix and then locking up your guys. Because not only do you have Hunter Renfrow, but you also have to decide on Darren Waller too.
Yes.
You know, so by all means, they would want both of them long-term, but we don't know what can happen. You know, anything can happen next offseason. But I know I don't think he'll get locked up long-term before the season starts.
Well, there you go. Mario, listen, man, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We'll have you on more. I know I said that last time, but we will, I promise. And just keep up the great work, man. Congratulations on all the success. And if, for those of you out there, both of us, Mario and I, we started with just starting a website. So if you're interested in doing content, don't let anybody, I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care if you're an exterminator, a plumber, a teacher, a nuclear engineer. If you want to do it, follow your passion. Mario's a great example of that. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at underscore Mario Tovar, T-O-V-A-R. And of course, check out his work and the rest of his team's work at RaiderRamble.com, as well as his work up on SportsNot.com. Mario, thanks for being with us, man. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Well, thanks for having me on, Scott. It's always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to close out the show for us here. Another Friday night, more Raider talk. And again, we thank all of you for being with us. Make sure you check out the website, silverandblacktonight.com, where you can get archived of the show. Make sure you subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on Twitter at SNB Today, and I am at LV Gully. For everyone here at the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and Silver and Black Today, have a great weekend, Raider Nation. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us. Please catch Silver and Black tonight every Friday at 6 p.m. on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.